Hey there, everybody. It's Kate Beaters, and I am here with the Forever Cali Project. So welcome. I'm really excited to be here and sharing some powerful, powerful information with you from a leading expert. And for those of you who are new to the Forever Cali Project, that is something that I started from my heart when I said goodbye to my almost 17-year-old most beautiful girl in the world. Yes, I'm partial. Cali, and she was a Cairn Terrier. And it was probably the worst day of my life when I actually did, but also her being a senior, you know, for her last few years were, you know, there's a lot of, a lot of stress, a lot of maintenance, a lot of doctor's visits, all sorts of things that popped up. And after she passed, I really could feel her reaching out to me saying, you know, you got to go help some people. So that's why I created the Forever Cali Project, to help people who are both taking care of either senior dogs or dogs that require additional medical care. You know, they don't necessarily have to be senior. And then also for those grieving. And so today I am here with Chaplain Megan Lester, who I'm really excited to be with because I've known her for, what about 4 years now, Megan, probably? So Megan is in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And Megan, I'm going to ask you to kind of introduce yourself and just talk a little bit about how you became a chaplain, because a lot of people go like, oh, it's a chaplain, you know, and, you know, they feel like they have to hold their breath and all that. So can you kind of share a little bit, a little bit about who you are and what led you to become a chaplain?
Sure. Yeah. No, and thanks for having me, Kate. I'm delighted because I love talking with people about the different things we're feeling, because I have grown up as a pastor's kid in the church and had stereotypes about pastors and chaplains. And then to get into experiencing these things as I served in a hospital in some chaplaincy training, just really getting to know people and what they're experiencing and being real with people and the emotions and not having to label them or judge them, but just help people through them has been something that's really been meaningful to me. And so that's translated now as I work in a retirement home where I love getting to walk with people through this phase of life. So many things happen that are unexpected, whether it's from a fall or just moving to a new community. That there's changes. And so then we talk through those changes and what life looks like now. And so I appreciate that I get to also learn from all the wisdom of the elders here on campus. So that's been part of my journey of just wanting to walk with people through life, and I see chaplains as that role. I know sometimes they can get the scary persona in the hospital when you hear a chaplain called to something, but I love just getting to walk and journey with people through life and helping to make sense of life, and that feels like the right place for me.
Oh, so Megan, you're already starting to make me very teary, and in a good way, you know, because in all transparency, my mom was at Brethren Village probably for her last year of life, and that's how I got to know Megan. In fact, my mom had said, Kate, I think you need to meet Megan because I really like her, and I think you really will too, and I think she'll be really helpful to you. And, you know, Megan was somebody, again, I'm just being really transparent, that I reach out many times over, you know, while my mom was there to talk to her. And then since we've talked, and Megan has also been a resource for me with Cali as well. And so today, you know, we're focused on our four-legged children, and you know, they're living so much longer than ever, Megan, right? You know, it used to be that, you know, they probably only lived to maybe like, if you were lucky, to like 10 years or something. And now they live longer, but the problem is they're also getting our people diseases. You know, they're getting, you know, eye issues with their sight or their hearing or diabetes or, you know, kidney issues or, strokes. I mean, you name it, cancer, everything. And so, you know, what we're focused on today is really the caretaking part of it on this interview. And because the way I look at it is, you know, and this is why I wanted to have you on, is really to talk a bit about anticipatory grief. Because I know how I felt, and I know since launching this project, talking to others, that, you know, we're all just feeling like, oh no, you know, like there's so many emotions that, you know, are we doing the right thing? You know, and then what happens when my four-legged child or best friend, whatever we're calling it, family member, you know, is no longer with us? Like, you know, how will I go on? And all sorts of things. And I know, you know, with my mom, because she had so many health issues, you know, I dealt with anticipatory grief, although it was different because, you know, I was in a different state, so I didn't see her daily. But I would really love for you, for your expertise, because I have to imagine, you know, what you're doing is you're also helping people with anticipatory grief. And if maybe you could kind of, first of all, explain what anticipatory grief is, and then let's talk about maybe, you know, from your wisdom, suggestions that might help people.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, anticipatory grief is not a word we use very often, but it's something we all experience a lot of. It's real grief, right? It's grief as you anticipate any sort of loss or change, especially for a loved one, whether that's a person or a beloved pet. I have a little Bichon. She's my little girl. but, yeah, if anything changes, I feel that. but, yeah, it's the grief we don't always like to name or maybe have not even had the words to name. But it's important because we have to acknowledge those changes, you know, whether it's something gradual, like a gradual decline that we're experiencing. So in the human world, we talk about dementia being one of those ones that you experience that anticipatory grief in many stages because you have seen and heard what can happen with dementia. And the same thing can happen with our pets, right? We hear a diagnosis and that means some limitations, and we're starting to see what could come down the pipeline for us, and that's where we start to feel what goes with it. And so it's really important not to discount those feelings, but it's just part of what the process will be. And so we don't want to label them as positive or negative, but just experience them and then use that to inform how we move forward. So that could be right in anything from, say, a vision problems, or maybe there's new dietary restrictions. It could also be just a pet getting up there in age, right, and knowing that well, our dogs, we want them to last forever, but their ages are a little different than our timeline. So just even knowing are coming.
Yeah, and first of all, I'm really glad you pointed out, because it doesn't necessarily mean that the pet is ready to leave, you know, to die. It could just be, you know, I've heard stories about people get a 1-year-old pet and they find out it has cancer. So it also could be some kind of anticipatory grief that it's not going to have a normal puppy life or something, you know what I mean, or something like that.
Yeah.
I may not be using the correct words, but just that it is that. So I'm so glad we're talking about this, and so glad that I have you on, because it is a real emotion. And what are some of the feelings someone might be feeling when they're going through anticipatory grief?
Yeah, so some of those feelings are some of the same that we get with grief, right, that may have heard more of, like some of the shock and denial that you might feel at hearing some of these, especially if it's like a 1-year-old puppy with cancer, you know, that just kind of fear, too, of not really knowing if you're ready for this or if you have what it takes to care, or maybe some anger at, you know, not knowing that. Or it can even lead to feelings of guilt and depression, too. And these things can happen in waves. It can be a strong feeling for days or a week. But, yeah, these are all normal reactions to getting this kind of news, especially based on your attachment or your love for your pet. And that's what drives those emotions a little deeper.
Yeah. But, geez, I wish I had known so much more of this before, you know. So what do people do, you know, when maybe they're feeling that, you know, and whether they can name it as anticipatory grief or they don't know the name, but they're just feeling like, God, you know, they're just all those different emotions, whether it's, you know, some low-level depression or sadness or anger or whatever. What have you seen, or what would you recommend that would be helpful to help somebody with this anticipatory grief.
Yeah, I think the most important thing, Kate, is to talk about it or to find a way to express it. Sometimes that's easy with, say, our family members or our community mm-hmm. or our tribe, if you will, just to share mm-hmm. this is the news we got today and this is kind of how I'm feeling about it, whether it's anger or sadness. Sometimes, especially in like dog walker communities, you share with the people you run into. So we share with our neighbors, mm-hmm. you know, this new diagnosis that we just got, or we didn't know this to be true, and now we don't know what to think and to be okay not knowing what we actually feel about it at the moment. So sometimes those informal circles of support can be very helpful. But even if it's sharing in our social media circles, you know, that a change has happened or posting something just to let them know you're experiencing some changes. There's like wonderful worlds of support, positive support in that way. And then you can just focus on the people who do respond, you know, when you put something out there. For those who don't like to speak about it or to say something out loud to others, you can also journal. Or do something.
That's a great idea,
you know,
too.
To
yeah.
channel that energy, you know, to mm-hmm. because the important part is to just let the expression out in some way, and whether mm-hmm. it never sees the light of day, that's okay. Or even, to be honest, talking with your pet about what you're feeling. We do this with our loved ones too, as appropriate. Just telling them where we're at hearing this news, and we can talk with our dog too and say, wow, I didn't expect that, you know, what are we going to do, you know, or I'm upset about this too, because they know and they can read us and they often respond, you know, and so it's better to be completely upfront with them, and then you're on the same page, and you're journeying that grief together.
And that's such a really good point, Megan, because there have been all these articles I've been seeing lately with research about, which I kind of already knew and you probably already know as well, is it's just nice to have the research prove it that you know, that our dogs are picking up on our emotions. And
yeah.
they can tell when we're stressed, they can tell when we're happy. So that's such a great point you brought up, is talk to them about it, because they may not understand the words, but they understand the emotion.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. Oh, this is such beautiful information. And one other thing, too, I would like to also add, you know, having gone through this, you know, recently, and I'm just saying this to everybody who doesn't know me personally, I'm a bit of an introvert, not a total introvert because I wouldn't be doing this kind of interviews, but a bit of one. And I do like to protect my energy because I'm very energy sensitive. And so one thing I learned to do is to be careful also who I was sharing it with. Because I didn't want somebody who had a different view on my relationship with my dog, with Callie, to say something negative that would upset me. So I kind of want to throw that in there, too, is that if you know you have a friend or relative who does not like dogs or thinks that anything past age 5 is a long life, you know, don't share that stuff with them, because it can end up, you know, really, really hurting you, and you don't want that.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah. Yeah, and it only needs to go to the people who are going to love and support you. That's what you need. This is about relationships
yeah.
and shifting relationships. So you want the positive support around you.
Exactly. Megan, this is so wonderful. Like I wish I could have listened to, you know, except I did talk to you, so I guess I can't. I had that advantage, but I wish more people could have heard this, as, you know, as they're going through this. So I'm so happy we're doing this. Is there anything else before we wrap up that you want to add?
Just to say, in the midst of that anticipatory grief, it can just strike you at all sorts of times. It may be something small, maybe a commercial, you know, that triggers something. And just to be okay with that, that's normal. It's hard to know what's normal when it's something we don't always talk about. But whether it's a coming wave of something or a period of time, those are normal. But if those are prolonged in any way, it is perfectly normal, too, to seek some professional help. too. I know there's lots of great groups out there for grief, and they do a lot of anticipatory grief as well.
Like the Forever Cali Project.
Yes, exactly.
Well, Megan, again, thank you so much. And everybody, that was Megan Lester, chaplain at Brethren Village. And again, Megan, so thrilled to have you share your information. Thank you.
Thanks, Kate.